This evening's reading is from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 32, the healing of a boy with an evil spirit. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. This is the word of the Lord.
There was a rabbi, and he decided to visit the Pope. So he went along and visited the Pope's offices, and whilst in the Pope's office, he looked across the room and saw this special-looking phone. And he said to the Pope, "What on earth is that phone line?" And the Pope says, "That is my special hotline to God." The rabbi goes, "That's amazing!" He says, "Whilst I'm here, can I borrow it?" So the Pope says, "Of course you can, go ahead." So the rabbi picks up the phone, has a fairly long chat with God, puts the phone down and says, "That was just so what I needed, that was brilliant, thank you so much." And the rabbi says, "Please let me pay for the phone call." So the Pope looks at the counter on the thing and says, "No, don't worry about it, don't worry about paying for the phone call." But the rabbi insists, "No, please let me pay for the phone call." So after a while, the Pope is worn down and he says, "Okay, you can pay for the phone call." So he looks again at the counter and says, "It's going to cost you round about £40. He goes, "Okay, fair enough." Well, fast forward a few months, and the Pope is visiting Israel. And while he's in Israel, he needs to pop in and see the rabbi friend that he made a few months ago. So he goes into his office, and whilst there, they're having a bit of a chat, and he looks across the room and sees a phone exactly like his phone. He says to the rabbi, "What's the phone?" He says, "That's my hotline to God." So he goes, "Well, actually, whilst I'm here, I've got some business with the Lord. Can I borrow your phone?" He goes, "Of course you can." So he picks up the phone, has a good little chat to God, a little bit of a chin wag, puts the phone down and says to the rabbi, "Now look, you made when you came to see me, you paid for the phone call. Now I'm here, I'm going to pay for my phone call." So the rabbi looks at the counter and the Pope says, "How much will it be?" He says, 40 pence. 40 pence, the Pope replies, "That's very cheap." The rabbi says, "Well, it is a local call anyway." Communication. Communication is something which is so crucial to every relationship. A good relationship is one where people communicate properly. And the more communication that happens within a relationship, the more productive it is as a consequence. As we get towards the end of the passage read tonight, Jesus says the words, "This type only come out by prayer." This type only come out when you have communication with the living God. Communication is something that Jesus is saying is crucially important to our walk as in the Christian life. You see, we're coming tonight to the end of our series on miracles in Mark. And I just want to throw out now the question of, what has God challenged you through this series? What has he said to you? Because there's a reason why we're doing this series. There's a reason why we're doing this. And the reason we go back, right back to the very first thing that Roger did, was to say this. We can do everything that Christ did, and more. That's the words of Jesus in John's Gospel. It says, you'll do everything that I've been doing, and greater works. The reason we're looking at the life of Jesus is a way of saying, here's Jesus' life, here's my life. How big's the gap? That's the point of this series. And tonight I want to look at, as we finish off this series, some of the keys about what it is to live a life which is miraculous, what it is to live a life of faith. So we come to this story where Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he walks down, and he comes to this big crowd of people who are squabbling and arguing, and there's some disciples, and there's some scribes, and some Pharisees, some teachers of the law, and they're all squabbling. He says, what on earth's going on here? And a man comes out and says, my son, he's got an evil spirit in him. Your disciples have tried to cast him out, but they can't do it. Can you do it? You think, what a silly question to ask Jesus. Can you do it? He says, yes, I can. So anything is possible for him who believes. And he casts out the demons. And everyone's amazed. But the disciples say, why was it that we couldn't do it? And he says, because this type only comes out through prayer. This type only comes out when you're in an intimate relationship with the Father. You see, Jesus is up on the mountain, and what's happening down at the foot of the mountain is there's scribes and Pharisees, and they're arguing with the disciples. The disciples have tried to cast out this demon in the boy. And the Pharisees and the scribes are loving this fact that they can't do it. Because the scribes and Pharisees are constantly trying to catch Jesus out at any turn. Any time when Jesus does anything, they're trying to catch him out. And here they've got an opportunity where the disciples have tried something, it hasn't quite worked, and the scribes and the Pharisees lynch onto it and say, you can't do it. If we can prove that you can't do it, then we can discredit you and even Jesus. And right in the midst of that, just at the right time, Jesus shows up on the scene. And Jesus always turns up at the right time. Never too early, never too late. Always at the right time. And Jesus arrives. And the man comes out and says, my son is really, really sick. He's really ill. He keeps throwing himself into the fire. He keeps throwing himself into the water. He keeps nearly destroying himself. Help my son. He says, if you can do it. And Jesus says, I can. He says, everything is possible for him who believes. Why couldn't the disciples cast out the demons? Well, I reckon it's this. They got so used to being around Jesus that when he went away, they got scared. They lost their reliance on Jesus. And they focused on the fact that he wasn't there. It says earlier on in Mark's Gospel in chapter 3, the fact that he gave them authority over evil spirits. And yet, they can't seem to do it. And Jesus goes up on the mountain, and whilst they're there, they feel insecure suddenly. Because they're not connected with Jesus. Up until that point, Jesus has always been a few steps behind, ready to step in if things go wrong. But what they forget is what Jesus has been trying to teach them the whole way through the Gospel, is the fact that you can have a conversation, because of Christ, with the Father. Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. He didn't just do things because he chose to. He did them when the Father showed him to do it. That's what he was trying to teach his disciples. It wasn't just about going out and having fun. It was about doing what the Father had asked them to do. And they get to a situation where Jesus has gone away and they forget the fundamental principle of talking to the Father. I think that's why Jesus says this type only comes out through prayer. He's saying it only comes out when you're talking to the Father, to the person who rules all of heaven. That's when things happen. So Jesus comes back down. And I think that what we see in the second part of this story, when the man comes to Jesus, is what the disciples should have done to the Father when they first prayed. The Father says to Jesus, "Can you help him?" And Jesus says, "Yes. Everything's possible for him who believes." And the man says, "I do believe. Help me overcome my disbelief." That's what the disciples should have said to the Heavenly Father. "We believe for this. Help us overcome our unbelief. And let us see you glorified, God." That is what I think the disciples should have been doing and what is modelled out. You see, the closer we are to God, the more it encourages our faith. And Jesus is saying that prayer is crucial to experiencing a living relationship with God. We have a hotline to God. Just like in the story at the start, we have a hotline to God. We can chat to the guy who made the whole universe. Just like that. Because Jesus died and he rose again. And that means that no longer is there a barrier of sin between us and God. But it now means that we can walk, it says in the Bible, boldly into the throne room of heaven. And we can talk to the God who made everything. That's why prayer is so crucial in our Christian lives. Because you're communicating with the living God. And when you communicate with the living God, it inspires faith within us. It grows faith. And the man who came to Jesus said, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." And in Matthew's account of this story, Jesus, after he says, this time only comes out through prayer, he says, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, 'Be moved.'" He says that nothing is impossible with God. If you have a little bit of faith, if you come to God and say, "God, I have a little bit of faith, help me grow that," God says, "I'll take that potential of a small seed and I'll grow it into a massive tree, and you will see the kingdom of heaven flourish in your life and in those around you." If you just dare to come with that little bit in you, hasn't got to be much, but God says if you come honestly before him, recognize your weakness, then God can use that. It says in Scripture the fact that God is made strong when we're weak. See, weakness is the breeding ground for faith. Because when you're weak, you have to rely on God. In the third world, why do you see so many miracles happening in Africa? It's because they have a need of God. We are so comfortable and complacent in our lives that we don't need God to show up. But in the third world, where if God doesn't show up, they don't eat, they will see more miraculous things than we will. Because they're having to rely on God. They're forced by their situation. But as Christians, we are called to live with God every moment of every day and invite God to be part of everything that we do. We think prayer is a big deal. We think prayer is kind of like a hard thing to do. It's like, I need to sit down now, I need to do half an hour prayer, and I mustn't get distracted by Facebook, I mustn't get distracted by this, I mustn't get distracted by that. And there's times we need to sit down and just spend time before God in prayer. But prayer is so much wider than we make it out to be. You see, if I have Christ in me and you've got Christ in you, then when I have a conversation with you, that is Christ talking to Christ. That's iron sharpening iron. Our conversations as Christians, when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, that is prayer. I don't know about you, but when I talk to other people about God, I get so fired up. It's so encouraging. It grows faith within me. It takes that small mustard seed of, into going, "Yeah, God can do anything. That's amazing." It grows faith. Because when we spend time with God in prayer, it grows faith. There's a great book called Messy Spirituality by a guy called Mike Iaconelli. And I highly recommend it as a book. It's a small little book. And it's called Messy Spirituality, Spirituality for the Rest of Us. And what he's trying to say is, spirituality like a monk is great, but that's not realistic for our lives. And he tells a story how he went to go and see a friend of his, who he really respected, and she was this great person that he really respected of the faith, and she always seemed really spiritual. She always seemed to be in touch with God. And he says to her, "I wish I could do what you do. You spend so many hours in prayer every day. You spend weeks in prayer. You spend months in prayer. You fast and you pray and you do this. I wish I could do that. I wish I was as spiritual as you." And she turns around and says, "How dare you say that I'm more spiritual than you. She says, you're not there when I face depression. You're not there when there's a bill I can't pay. You're not there in the times when things aren't great. And she says to him, do you think about God? He goes, yeah. She says, do you think about God all the time? He goes, yeah. She said, that is prayer. Being mindful of God in all that we do. Being that constant communication, inviting God to be part of our lives. Being mindful of God. There's a spiritual writer called Brother Lawrence. He talks about this called practicing the presence of God. It's in everything we do, being mindful of God. Trying to be wary of the fact that he is there. Trying to be aware of that fact. You see, because faith, when we involve God and we use faith, we invite God to be part of things. And when we take our little seed of faith and we invite God to be part of it, it can do amazingly beyond anything we can ask or imagine, as Paul writes. You see, communication with God, it grows our faith. And when we have faith, it allows us to live out the kingdom of heaven. Jesus constantly says, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is amongst you. The kingdom is here. And the Gospels are all about Jesus saying, the kingdom is now. It's also to come. And in the Bible they call it the now and the not yet. The kingdom is here, but it's not quite here. But the Bible says, Paul writes, that we are citizens of heaven. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we become citizens of heaven. And we are called to live by heavenly standards, heavenly ways of doing things, not by the way the world works. Because the world has been corrupted by sin, and it's a bad place to be. And there's war, and there's famine, and there's all these bad things. And God says, but heaven is the opposite of that. Heaven is perfect. And so as Christians, we're called to live out what heaven is like. Why does Jesus heal people? Is it because it's a nice thing to do? No, because in heaven there's no sickness. Why does God feed people? Because in heaven there's no hunger. Why does God have compassion upon people? Why does Jesus have compassion? Because in heaven there's a loving God who sits there wiping every tear from our eye. That's what Jesus was doing, is he was demonstrating the kingdom of heaven. And what faith is our way of expressing that, of saying God is in charge. God, I'm living by the standards of heaven. And prayer is our way of communicating with the God who reigns over all of heaven. And when we talk to the person who rules all of heaven, it reminds us what heaven's like. It reminds us what God is like. When we read scripture and we read the stories of Jesus, when we hear about what the early church were doing, it reminds us that that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. And Jesus' call for us to do what he was doing and greater is for us to live out the kingdom of heaven here on earth as citizens of heaven. And when we learn to communicate with our Father, Paul says, perpetually being in constant prayer with our Father, inviting him to be part of everything that we do. The things that we do in the natural suddenly become supernatural, and miracles start happening. Now, it might be a bit of an odd concept, a bit of a hard concept to grasp. So, lighten the mood. The only way I can think of demonstrating this is using a child's toy. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever seen this before. It's one of my favourite illustrations. But this is what's called a gyroscope. Do you ever know what anyone had a gyroscope as a kid? A few of you. For those of you who don't know, it's a bit of a novelty in physics. And basically what happens is, on its own, a gyroscope will fall over under gravity. But when you cause the centre wheel to spin very, very quickly, it defies gravity and has a force all of its own. Now, I've got a video which demonstrates this on a slightly larger scale so everyone can see. So if we go for the video. You see, what's happening here is the force of the wheel spinning is overriding the force of gravity, allowing it to do something which it shouldn't be able to do. And you can try this at home. There's plenty of videos on YouTube of people with bicycle wheels trying this out in their garages. But this, for me, is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's saying, on our own, we just fall over. We're part of the world. We follow worldly living. But when we spend time with God, it's like the wheel inside of us, the Holy Spirit inside of us, spins faster and faster and faster. And the faster it spins, the more it can defy the world. And it lives by the kingdom standards. It allows something which it allows us to live in a way which the world thinks is incredible. It allows us to overcome the world and live by the kingdom values. When we spend time with God in prayer, it's like it's the wheel of our spirit is spun faster and faster. And when we spin faster and faster, it builds faith. It's like a motion of faith. And it suddenly allows us to do things we never ever thought we could do. And the Bible says, now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or imagine, according to Christ at work within you. If Christ is in you, you have the power to live by standards which are not of this earth. You have the power to pray for the sick and see them healed. You have the power to multiply bread for the hungry. You have the power to do things you never ever thought you could do. If God's put a dream in your heart, if God's put something in your heart, a vision, with God it's possible. That's what the scripture says. But if you're willing to bring a little bit of faith, if you're willing to spend time getting to know the God better, then everything is possible. And suddenly we go from the impossibility of the world to the immense freedom and impossible place of the spirit realm of heaven. That's what we're called to live by. This is what this whole series is trying to talk about. It's saying, this is what Jesus did. This is what we are called to do. As citizens of heaven, let's live by the kingdom principles. Let's live out what the Bible teaches us to live out. Not because it's a nice way of living, but because it's an exceptionally exciting way of living. It's living by a standard which is far beyond anything you'll ever find on this earth. It's a place where there is no hunger, where there is no tears, where there is no hurt. There's no war. There's just peace. Everything is good, and that's what we're called to live out. And when we start involving God in everything that we do, our lives will start reflecting more and more of the kingdom of heaven. Because when people will look at us, they'll see a life which is doing incredibly amazing things, not because we are good, but because we said to God, I believe, but help my unbelief. But now, blessing. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those that you love this day, now and forevermore. Amen.